the rise of Napoleon. In 1809, the emperor wrested Croatia from Austro-Hungarian rule and established French occupation. Extending his domain down the Adriatic coast, Napoleon reunited the Illyrian provinces and introduced French libertarian ideals. This philosophy helped dismantle the outmoded feudal system of lords and serfs and reawaken the idea of a unified Balkan nation. At the same time, the occupation created an identity with the French culture. Tesla's paternal grandfather and maternal great-grandfather both served under the French emperor. With support from the Russians, Serbian bands united in 1804 under the leadership of the flamboyant hog farmer Georges Petrovic, known as Kara George, in Turkish Black George, a man of Montenegrin heritage trained in the Austrian army. However, in 1811, Napoleon invaded Russia. Thus, support for Serbia evaporated. 40,000 Turks marched against the Serbs, leveling towns and butchering citizens. Serbs were often executed by impalement, their writhing bodies lined up along the roads to the city. All males captured above the age of 15 were slaughtered, and women and children were sold as slaves. Kara George fled the country. Miloš, the new Serbian leader, was a sly and treacherous character, able to walk a thin line between Serbs and the Sultan. In 1817, when Kara George returned, he was decapitated, his head sent by Miloš to Istanbul. A tyrant as terrible as any Turkish pasha, Miloš became the official head of Serbia in 1830. One of the more sapient figures of the day was the scholar and Serb Vuk Karadžić, 1787-1864. Schooled in Vienna and St. Petersburg, Vuk believed all Yugoslavs were one. Pleading with Miloš to build schools and to form a constitution, Vuk created with the student a Serbo-Croatian dictionary that combined the two written languages. He published the epic folk ballads which gained the attention of Goethe, and through this means the Serbian plight and also its unique literature were translated and spread to the Western world. In Croatia, the land of Tesla's birth, Emperor Ferdinand of Austria, in 1843, issued a proclamation forbidding any discussion about Illyrianism, thereby helping keep the Serbs and Croats a separate people. In 1867, the Austro-Hungarian dual monarchy was created, and Croatia became a semi-autonomous province of the new empire. Simultaneously, in Serbia, Mikhail Obrenović was finally able to secure the departure of the Turkish garrisons from Belgrade and convert the state into a constitutional monarchy. Tesla's background was thus a mixture of crossed influences, a monastic environment, a Byzantine legacy of a once great culture, and incessant battles against barbarous invaders. As a Serb growing up in Croatia, Tesla inherited a rich mix of tribal rituals, egalitarian rule, a modified form of Greek Orthodox Catholicism, pantheistic beliefs, and myriad superstitions. Women cloaked their bodies in black garb, and men packed a cross in one pocket and a weapon in another. Living at the edge of civilization, Serbs saw themselves as protectors of Europe from the Asian hordes. They bore that responsibility with their blood for many centuries. 2. Childhood, 1856-74. Now I must tell you of a strange experience which bore fruit in my later life. We had a cold snap drier than ever observed before. People walking in the snow left a luminous trail. As I stroked Majak's back, it became a sheet of light, and my hand produced a shower of sparks. My father remarked, "This is nothing but electricity, the same thing you see on the trees in a storm." My mother seemed alarmed. "Stop playing with the cat," she said. "He might start a fire." I was thinking abstractly. Is nature a cat? If so, who strokes its back? It can only be God, I concluded. I cannot exaggerate the effect of this marvelous sight on my childish imagination. Day after day, I asked myself, "What is electricity?" and found no answer. 80 years have gone by since, and I still ask the same question. unable to answer it. Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla descended from a well-established frontier Zadruga whose original family name had been Draganich. By the mid-1700s, the clan had migrated to Croatia, and the Tesla name arose. It was a trade name like smith or carpenter, which described a woodworking axe that had a broad cutting blade at right angles to the handle. Supposedly, the Teslas gained the name because their teeth resembled this instrument. The inventor's grandfather, also named Nikola Tesla, was born about 1789 and became a sergeant in Napoleon's Illyrian army during the years 1809-13. Like other Serbs living in Croatia, Nikola Tesla, the elder, was honored by fighting for an emperor who sought to unify the Balkan states and overthrow the oppressive regime of the Austro-Hungarians. He came from a region known as the Military Frontier, which stretched from the Adriatic Sea to the plains of the Danube, including the province of Lika, where the inventor was born. This so-called corpus separatum in the Habsburg monarchy had its own military administration, different from the rest of the country, and therefore they were not subjects of the feudal lord. Mostly Serbs, these people were warriors whose responsibility was to protect the territory from the Turks, and in return, unlike the Croats, Serbs were able to own their own land. Shortly after Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo in 1815, Nikola Tesla married Anna Karlinic, the daughter of a prominent officer. After the collapse of Illyria, the grandfather moved to Gospic, where he and his wife could raise a family in a civilized environment. On February the 3rd, 1819, Milutin Tesla, the inventor's father, was born. One of five children, Milutin was educated in a German elementary school, the only one available in Gospic. Like his brother Josip, Milutin tried to follow in his father's footsteps. In his late teens, he enrolled in an Austro-Hungarian military academy, but rebelled against the trivialities of regimented life. He was hypersensitive and dropped out after an officer criticized him for not keeping his brass buttons polished. Whereas Josip became an officer and later a professor of mathematics, first in Gospic and then at a military academy in Austria. Milutin became politically active, wrote poetry, and entered the priesthood. Influenced by the philosopher Vuk Karadzic, Milutin promulgated the Yugoslav idea in editorials published in the local newspapers under the nom de plume Serbin Pravicic, Man of Justice. Tesla wrote that his father's style of writing was much admired, penning sentences full of wit and satire. He called for social equality among peoples, the need for compulsory education for children, and the creation of Serbian schools in Croatia. Through these articles, Milutin attracted the attention of the intellectual elite. In 1847, he married Dajuka Mandic, a daughter from one of the more prominent Serbian families. Dajuka's maternal grandfather was Toma Budisavljević, 1777-1840, a regal, white-bearded priest who was decorated with the French Medal of Honor by Napoleon himself in 1811 for providing leadership during the French occupation of Croatia. Sorka Budisavljević, one of Toma's seven children, followed the family tradition by marrying a Serbian minister, Nikola Mandic, who himself came from a distinguished clerical and military family. Their daughter, Dijuka, who was born in 1821, was Tesla's mother. Eldest daughter of eight children, Dijuka's duties increased rapidly, for her mother was stricken with failing eyesight and eventually became blind. "My mother was a truly great woman of rare skill and courage," Tesla wrote. Probably due to the magnitude of her responsibilities, which included at age 16 preparing for burial the bodies of an entire family stricken with cholera, Dajuka never learned to read. Instead, she memorized the great epic Serbian poems and also long passages of the Bible. Tesla could trace his lineage to a segment of the educated aristocracy of the Serbian community. On both sides of the family, and for generations, there could be found clerical and military leaders, many of whom achieved multiple doctorates. One of Dajuka's brothers, Pajo Mandic, was a field marshal in the Imperial Austro-Hungarian Army. Another Mandic ran an Austrian military academy. Peter Mandic, a third brother and later favourite uncle of Nicholas, met with tragedy as a young man when his wife passed away. In 1850, Peter entered the Gormirje Monastery, where he rose in the clerical hierarchy to become the regional bishop of Bosnia. In 1848, through the help of the Mandic name, Milutin Tesla obtained a parish at Senje, a northern coastal fortress located just 75 miles from the Italian port of Trieste. From the stone church, situated high on austere cliffs, Milutin and his new bride could overlook the blue-green Adriatic Sea and the mountainous islands of Kirk, Thres, and Rab. For 8 years the Teslas lived in Senje, where they sired their first three children. Dane, born in 1849, the first son, and two daughters, Angelina, born the following year, who would later become the grandmother to the current honorary head of the Tesla Memorial Society, William Terbo, and Milka, who followed 2 years later. As with her other two sisters, and like her mother, Milka would eventually marry a Serbian Orthodox priest. The Yuka was proud of her son Dane, who used to sit with the fishermen on the shore and bring back stories of great adventure. Like his younger brother, who was yet to be born, Dane was endowed with extraordinary powers of eidetic imagery. Due to a profound sermon on the subject of labour, as a result of which Milutin was awarded a special red sash by the archbishop, the minister was promoted to a congregation of 40 homes in the pastoral farming village of Smiljan, situated only 6 miles from Gospic. Milutin was returning home, where his father still lived. In 1855, the young minister, his pregnant wife, and his three children packed their ox cart and made the 50-mile journey over the Velebit Ridge through the Lika Valley to their new dwelling. In 1856, Nikola Tesla was born. He was followed 3 years later by Marica, mother-to-be of Sava Kasanovic, the first Yugoslavian ambassador to the United States, and the man most responsible for creating the Tesla Museum in Belgrade. Smiljan was an ideal setting for the young boys to grow up in. Nikola, raised in large measure by his two older sisters, appears to have led an Arcadian childhood, annoying the servants, playing with the local birds and animals on the farm, and learning inventions from his older brother and mother. Down to the local creek the boys would go to swim or catch frogs in the spring or summer, and to build dams in the autumn and early winter, in vain attempts to stop the seasonal flooding of the land. One of their favourite recreations was a smooth water wheel, a device which contained inherent concepts that would later form the basis of Tesla's innovative bladeless steam turbines. Other inventions included a cornstalk pop gun, which contained principles that Tesla later adapted when he fashioned particle beam weapons, a special fishing hook for catching frogs, snares for capturing birds, and a parasol used in an unsuccessful attempt to glide off the roof of the barn. Young Nico must have taken quite a leap, because his fall laid him up for 6 weeks. Perhaps the boy's most ingenious creation was a propeller, driven by 16 maybugs glued or sewn four abreast onto the wooden blades. These creatures were remarkably efficient, for once they were started, they had no sense to stop, and continued whirling for hours and hours. All went well, until a strange boy came to the place. He was the son of a retired officer in the Austrian army. That urchin ate maybugs alive, and enjoyed them as though they were the finest Blue Point oysters. That disgusting sight terminated my endeavours in this promising field, and I have never since been able to touch a maybug, or any other insect for that matter. Some of the inventor's earliest memories, when he was 3, were recalled when he was an octogenarian. Many years before pigeons, Tesla showered his affections on the family cat Majak. The fountain of my enjoyment. I wish that I could give you an adequate idea of the depth of affection which existed between me and him. After dinner, Nico and his cat would rush out of the house and frolic by the church. Majak would grab me by the trousers. He tried hard to make me believe he would bite, but the instant his needle-sharp incisors penetrated the clothing, the pressure ceased, and their contact with my skin was as gentle and tender as that of a butterfly alighting on a petal. Tesla liked best to wallow in the grass with Marshak. We would just roll and roll in a delirium of delight. In this peaceful setting, young Nico was introduced to the barnyard animals. I would take one or the other under my arm and hug and pet it, he wrote, especially the grand resplendent cock who liked me. It was also at this time that the boy began to study flight, a topic of interest that caused him in later life to invent a variety of novel flying machines. His relationship with birds, however, was filled with contradictions. My childhood would have passed blissfully if I did not have a powerful enemy. Our gander, a monstrous ugly brute with the neck of an ostrich, mouth of crocodile, and a pair of cunning eyes radiating intelligence and understanding like the human. One summer day, my mother had given me a bath and put me out for a sun warming in Adam's attire. When she stepped in the house, the gander espied me and charged. The brute knew where it would hurt most, and seized me by the nape, almost pulling out the remnant of my umbilical cord. My mother, who came in time to prevent further injury, said to me, "You must know that you cannot make peace with a gander or a cock whom you have taunted. They will fight you as long as they live." Tesla had run-ins with other animals as well, such as a local wolf, who fortunately turned and ran from him, the family cow which Tesla rode and one time fell off of, and the giant ravens, whom he claimed to have snared with his bare hands by hiding under the bushes and leaping out at them as a cat would. Tesla also liked to tell the story of his two homely aunts, who often visited his home. One, an Aunt Veva, had two protruding teeth like the tusks of an elephant. She loved me passionately and buried them deep in my cheek in kissing me. I cried out from pain, but she thought it was from pleasure, and dug them in still deeper. Nevertheless, Tesla recalled, I preferred her to the other, as she used to glue her lips to mine and suck until by frantic efforts I managed to free myself, gasping for breath. One day, when they came over, and Tesla was still small enough to be held in the arms of his mother, they asked me who was the prettier of the two. After examining their faces intently, I answered thoughtfully, pointing to one of them, "This here is not as ugly as the other." Tesla inherited his sense of humor from his father, who, for instance, once cautioned a cross-eyed employee who was chopping wood near the minister and his son, "For God's sake, do not strike at what you're looking at, but what you expect to hit." Father Tesla was known to talk to himself and even carry on conversations with different tones in his voice, a trait also noted in the inventor, especially in his later years. Milutin also trained his sons in exercises in developing memory and their intuitive faculties. Able to recite at length works in several languages, he often remarked playfully that if some of the classics were lost, he could restore them. My father spoke fluently a great many languages, and also ranked high as a mathematician. He was an omnivorous reader, and possessed a large library, from which it was my privilege to gather a great deal of information during my years of life spent at home. Texts from this library included works in German by Goethe and Schiller, encyclopedic works in French by D'Alembert, and other classics, probably in English, from the 18th and 19th centuries. The inventor's colorful autobiography remains the primary source of information on his childhood. Although Dane and his parents appeared prominently in the work, Tesla's sisters are barely mentioned. Certainly he loved the girls, he exchanged letters with them regularly for the duration of his life, but they seem not to have overtly influenced his upbringing. It was his mother, whose untiring work habits and proclivity toward invention influenced the inventor to be. Whereas Milutin ran the parish and published his articles, the Yuka directed the servants and ran the farm. She had the responsibility of growing the crops, sewing all the clothes, and designing needlework, a practice that made her famous in the region. Tesla also ascribes his proclivity to invention to his mother. She conceived of many household appliances, including churns, looms, and all kinds of kitchen tools. My mother descended from a long line of inventors. Starting before dawn, she did not quit work until 11 o'clock at night. In 1863, disaster struck the Tesla household. Dane, who was gifted to an extraordinary degree, was out riding the family horse, which was of Arabian breed, possessed of almost human intelligence. The horse may have been the type easily spooked. The previous winter it had thrown Malutin in the middle of the forest after an encounter with wolves, and had run home, leaving him unconscious. The horse, however, was smart enough to bring the search party back to the scene of the accident, and thus the father was saved. This animal, which was cared for and petted by the whole family, threw the brother as well. But Dane died of the injuries. The family never really recovered. Dane's premature death left my parents disconsolate. The recollection of his attainments made every effort of mine seem dull in comparison. Anything I did that was creditable merely caused my parents to feel their loss more keenly. So I grew up with little confidence in myself. Upset by his brother's death and the rejection by his parents, particularly his mother, the 7-year-old ran away from home and hid in an inaccessible mountain chapel, which was visited only once a year. By the time he had reached the place, it was nightfall. There was little the boy could do but force his way in and spend the night entombed. It was an awful experience. Shortly after this tragedy, Malutin was promoted and given the parish at the ornate onion bulb church in the town of Gospic. The family moved the few miles to Gospic, where Father Tesla also took a post teaching religion at the local gymnasium, high school. Nico was of school age, so he began his formal education at this time. However, he had great difficulty adjusting to city life, for he missed the farm and the idyllic existence he had once enjoyed. This change of residence was like a calamity to me. It almost broke my heart to part from our pigeons, chickens, and sheep, and our magnificent flock of geese, which used to rise to the clouds in the morning and return from the feeding grounds at sundown in battle formation, so perfect that it would have put a squadron of the best aviators of the present day to shame. The boy would wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares of Dane's death, which he claimed to have witnessed, and of the funeral, which probably involved an open casket. A vivid picture of the scene would thrust itself before my eyes and persist despite all efforts to banish it. To free myself of these tormenting appearances, I tried to concentrate my mind on something else by continuously conjuring up new images. I was oppressed by thoughts of pain in life and death and religious fear, swayed by superstitious beliefs, and lived in constant dread of the spirit of evil, of ghosts and ogres and other unholy monsters of the dark. It was at this time that Tesla began to have what today are known as out-of-body experiences, although he never ascribed anything mystical or paranormal to them. Blurred at first, I would see on my journeys new places, cities and countries, live there, meet people and make friendships. And however unbelievable, it is a fact that they were just as dear to me as those in actual life, and not a bit less intense in their manifestations. Tesla stated he had such great powers of eidetic imagery that he sometimes needed one of his sisters to help him tell which was hallucination and which was not. Like Dane, his thoughts were often interrupted with annoying flashes of light. These psychoneurological disturbances continued throughout his life. On the positive side, the problem was also attributed to his inventive bent. He could use his powers of visualization to mold his various creations and even run and modify them in his mind before committing them to paper and the material world. While still in grade school, Nico had obtained a post at the local library in Gospic classifying the various books. But he was forbidden to read at night for fear that his eyes would be strained in dim light, and Malutin would fly into a rage to stop him. Undeterred, Nico would swipe some household candles, seal up the cracks in his room, and continue reading through the night. The book that Tesla claimed changed his life was Abafi, a story translated into Serbian about the son of Abba by the Hungarian author Josika. Up to the age of 8, my character was weak and vacillating. This work somehow awakened my dormant powers of will, and I began to practice self-control. At first, my resolution faded like snow in April, but in a little while I conquered my weakness and felt a pleasure I never knew before, that of doing as I willed. Thus, by the age of 12, he was successfully experimenting with acts of self-denial and self-mastery, a paradoxical pattern which played itself out repeatedly throughout his life. Simultaneously, Tesla began to develop peculiarities, probably stemming from the stress associated with his brother's death, strained relationships with his parents, and denial of his sexual desires. At this time, he became ill and claimed that a heavy dose of Mark Twain's writings turned his spirit and cured him. 25 years later, when I met Mr. Clements and we formed a friendship, I told him of the experience and was amazed to see that a great man of laughter burst into tears. During this period, I contracted many strange habits. I had a violent aversion against the earrings of women, but other ornaments, such as bracelets, pleased me. The sight of a pearl would almost give me a fit, but I was fascinated with the glitter of objects with sharp edges. I would not touch the hair of other people, except perhaps at the point of a revolver. I would get a fever by looking at a peach. Even now, at age 61, I am not insensible to some of these upsetting impulses. The youngster, however, also undertook normal boyhood adventures, including a few near-death experiences. On one occasion, by falling headlong into a huge kettle of boiling milk just drawn from the paternal herds. On another occasion, nearly drowning after swimming under a raft. And on a third occasion, by nearly being swept over a waterfall at one of the nearby dams. These were rather unpleasant experiences, but not as bad, according to the inventor, as the following. There was a wealthy lady in town who used to come to the church gorgeously painted up and attired with an enormous train and attendants. One Sunday, I had just finished ringing the bell in the belfry and rushed downstairs when this grande dame was sweeping out, and I jumped on her train and tore it. Livid, my father gave me a gentle slap on the cheek, the only corporal punishment he ever administered to me, but I almost feel it now. Nico became ostracized and avoided social interaction. Fortunately, he was able to redeem himself through his inventive mind. One day, the local firemen brought out their new engine and started a fire to demonstrate it. To the embarrassment of the officials, the hose, which drew its water from the local river, would not work. Intuitively, Tesla realized there was a kink in the rigging. Tearing off his Sunday best, he dived into the water, unscrambled the line, and became the hero of the day. This event became a strong inducement for the boy to continue his interest in invention. Simultaneously, this act symbolized a new way to obtain love and admiration, not only from his parents, but also from society. Between the ages 10 and 14, Nico attended the Real Gymnasium, equivalent to junior high school. It appears that both his father and uncle taught there. It was a fairly new institution with a well-equipped physics department. I was interested in electricity almost from the beginning of my educational career, he wrote. I read all that I could find on the subject and experimented with batteries and induction coils. Tesla also began experimenting with water turbines and motors that utilized power derived from differentials in air pressure. His goal, though unattainable due to a flaw in his logic, was a perpetual motion machine that would work by maintaining a steady-state vacuum and harnessing, like a windmill, the rush of incoming air. This movement, he hoped, would turn a generator endlessly. After seeing a drawing or photograph of Niagara Falls, Tesla announced to his uncle Josip that one day he would place a gigantic wheel under the falls and thereby harness it. Most likely, he also visited the magnificent network of waterfalls at Plitvice Lakes for additional inspiration, as they were only a day's journey away. In 1870, at the age of 14, Nico moved from Gospic to Karlovac, Karlstadt, where he saw a locomotive for the first time, to attend the Higher Real Gymnasium, located by a swamp on a tributary to the Sava River near Zagreb. The youth lived with his aunt Stanka, his father's sister, and her husband, Colonel Brankovic,